Good morning and welcome to the Healing Our Brokenness podcast, where we dissect problems and solutions that exist among broken people living in a broken world. And we also believe that everyone has a story. Yesterday morning at maybe about six something, I think it was, about 6:45, I looked outside and noticed that there was frost on the ground and frost on the grass. And it was just like, oh my word. One of those times where you knew, like just from looking out and seeing the scene, that it was cold and that you wouldn't want to be outside in it. And I got a chance to yesterday afternoon to watch part of a series entitled Chosen. And it was about four of us in my Bible class. We had a nice socially distanced Bible class of watching and discussing part one of that particular series. And then I got a chance to do a little bit of running around, going to the grocery store. And of course, I had a list in my phone and unfortunately forgot to add garbage bags to that list. And so now today, I'm going to have to go out and I'm going to have to get garbage bags after my time at house church. And of course, as my grandmother would have said, if she was still living, it would have been too much like right for me to have remembered to put those garbage bags on the list. So I'm saying, once again, I am headed to Walmart to get those bags. Today it's pretty rainy out and it's cold and I had to bump the heat up a little bit just to feel like I want to get up and move around. And the thing about that is you bump it up, you get too hot, then you turn it down, then you get cold again. And I start feeling cold on my toes and nose and et cetera, basically. So I've gotten a lot of things done already this morning and now I am preparing to bring you part two of this podcast series that I've been working on. Just to give you a recap of yesterday's podcast with part one with evangelist Bernina Marbury, she took us on the journey of the importance of relationships, the importance of connection with these relationships, having a relationship with God, knowing God, and knowing ourselves, and then taking this knowing, being able to put our revelations into practice during this pandemic and focusing on having a relationship with the Savior, with God. And then she took us through some of her family traditions around Blackness and the importance of Next was the importance of not blindly following our passions, but following them with purpose, intent, and drive. And lastly, Evangelist Nina began the journey of taking us through her brokenness. She explained the importance of not making others into idols, not turning others into idols, and the things that she took us into a window of the things that women often do that create this type of destructive behavior to begin with. So today we are going to continue down her story, her testimonial story, which is her road of redemption and grace that God gave her as she found herself in the situation of being arrested by the police. I want you to listen in and be blessed.
There was a son. He was dead.
We
are going to be arresting you today.
Mm-hmm.
You failed this field sobriety test. Before he arrested me, he said, I want you to take a breathalyzer test. So I refused it.
Okay.
Because I had been drinking the night before.
I see what you're saying.
So when I refused to do the breathalyzer test, he said, well, I'm still going to arrest you anyhow because you have the keys in the ignition, you have open alcohol in the car, and you're blocking a fire hydrant. We're going to arrest you for DUI. So I got arrested from that point. Now, the guy that I was waiting on, all this time I'm doing this thing with the police, he never came out, downstairs. Right. I believe that he went upstairs to wait on someone and sat down and fell asleep himself.
Oh, my word. That's probably what happened, isn't it? Oh, my word.
So I did get arrested and I didn't know what was going on. Only thing that I did know is that I'm in a world of trouble. I don't know how I'm going to get myself out of it. I've already got two cases against me with the same charge, right?
Right.
So I am in a lot of trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. So I'm in Chicago too at the time.
In Chicago, okay.
I'm in Chicago. So they take me down to Belmont and Western. They process me down there. Then they had to call someone from Cook County Jail to come and get me to take me to lockup. So I went through all of that process of being locked up, right? So this is when this encounter came with the Lord. This is when the encounter came with God. As I'm sitting in there for days. Now, I cried for about 3 days straight. I'm crying.
Oh, wow.
I was not able to use the phone. I was not able to, make any phone calls out. Nobody knows where I'm at or anything. So I cried literally for 3 days. When I went to bond court, I was denied a bond. They gave me a court date of a month later, right?
Wow.
With no bond. So I couldn't even tell nobody to come get me out. So I'm like,
they didn't know if you were dead or alive, Nina?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And I knew that when I got out of that courtroom and my bond was denied, that's when the voice of the Lord says, your time is now. Your time is now to change. And I'm like, Lord, because I was praying during the time I was crying for those days. I was praying. And then I heard the voice of the Lord tell me that your time is now, but this woman has to die. This woman has to die, right?
That's deep.
And I said, Lord, I would do whatever it takes to change my life around. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if you get me out of this, I would never do this again. How many people say that though? Especially when your back is up against a wall.
We say it all the time.
When you're caged in and ain't no way out, you're gonna do whatever it takes to get up out of this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But God knew that wasn't the truth. He knew it wasn't going to be that simple, because whether we know it or not, God has a hedge of protection around us. And God also reigns. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust.
Yes.
God chastises. He chastises or chastens the ones that he loves, right?
Doesn't he?
So I said, I'm like, okay. God is having me in here. It's time for me to, it's time for me to really, really get serious. It's time for me to make a decision. He told me, I can hear the voice of the Lord just as clear as day. He said, choose ye this day who you going to serve. Choose ye this day who you are going to serve. Right.
Wow.
And I said, I can't play with God this way. I have to surrender. I have to surrender to God. Mm-hmm. I have to be ready for that surrendering. Am I ready to let go of my bottle? Am I ready to let go of this man, my husband, because I'm still holding on to him? Mm-hmm. Am I ready to stop worrying about the children? Am I ready to stop, you know, doing things in my own way? Am I ready for that?
Right.
I can just feel myself unleashing that grip, that lock that I had down, you know, on having things in my own way. I said, you know, it is time to make a change. Look around yourself. And this is now me talking to myself.
Right.
You know, I said, look around you. Look where you are right now. Is this the life that you want for yourself? Is this going to be your living, your testament,
mm-hmm.
you know, your legacy of the, are you just ending up in jail and getting out and still repeating the same routine over and over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. It is time to make a decision, right?
Right.
Second.
Sure.
Yes. So I said, it's time. Your
right.
time is now. You get all strikes against you, you know, it's time to make a total 360 degree change, turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the mother that you want to go home to your children?
Mm.
No, is this the woman that you want to, you know, be? I'm like, it's time for a change. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And when I did that and gave my heart and my will and my life and everything about me over to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
I could feel a breaking that was, I could feel this breaking happening. And God was breaking.
There we go.
God was breaking down some things in my life, you know. Down the spirit, that addiction that I was holding on to, I can feel mm-hmm. it. He was breaking that down. He was breaking down regret, depression, mm-hmm. Ungodly soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
He was breaking down me holding on to things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soul tie. I felt this breaking. So as I went into prayer and travail before the Lord, I laid on my face before God. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, If you change me, I will live for you for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And I surrendered. From that moment on, I surrendered everything unto God. I gave him everything. Like the Bible says, if you cast all of your cares upon him. So that surrendering, I gave it all. So therefore, at this point, I didn't care no longer about getting out of jail. Whatever you need to do in me, God, I will sit here until it's done.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe leaving out of here until you feel that I'm ready, right? Mm. So as I went through all of that, the breaking and the surrendering unto God and so forth, God began to do a work in me. I came across some people that God brought into my life that was able to minister to me, that was able to empower me. They taught me the word of God. So there was a woman that was sitting at the table, and she was a white woman. Her name was Sinclair. I'm sorry?
This was in jail that you...
Yes, ma'am.
This woman, okay.
Her name was Sinclair. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of people that's Christians, that theologians that's locked away in jail. You would have been surprised.
Okay.
But she was an older woman, like in her late 60s, and she was partially blind. She had only 30% vision.
Okay.
But she was an artist, and she could paint a picture like Picasso.
Really?
So she was very uninviting, unattractive, and no one sat with her because she was uninteresting. She was partially blind, you know, and no one, she didn't have any friends, and she always sat alone. So I didn't like being around a lot of people anyway. I knew God was doing a work on the inside of me, and I just needed to spend that communion and that time by myself with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at her table.
Hmm.
So I sat at her table. She sat at one end, I sat at the other. And as I sat at her table, I felt a sense of peace at this table.
Hmm.
So she felt my presence at the table, and she said, hello. And I said, hi. So she was like, what is your name? And I told her my name was Nina. She said, nice to meet you, Nina. She said, you have such a great spirit about you. I can feel your spirit all the way over here, Right. Wow. And I said, you know, it's such a good presence over here at this table too. Right. Mm-hmm. So she was like, yeah, I just sit here and I just paint all day. And, you know, people have me, they ask me to paint them pictures. And this is what I enjoy to do. I look at it as a hobby, but people like to pay me for it, mm-hmm. which is okay. You know, so this is all I do every day. Right. And I'm like, and right. she said, other than that, I spend a lot of time with the Lord. She said, by the way, the Spirit of the Lord brought you to this table, Nina.
Wow.
And I said, wow. She said, yeah, God is calling you. God is calling you back into himself. God is calling you, Nina, and your time is now. That's all I kept hearing ever since I got out the car when I got arrested, is that your time is now. There's no more time to waste. There's wow. no more time, you know, if the time is now. So she said, your time is now, and God is calling you back into himself, and he is preparing you. God is going to do great and marvelous things in your life, but this woman mm-hmm. in you has to die. God right. cannot use you in this condition. He mm-hmm. cannot use you in this state. And, but there's a calling on your life like never before. You mm-hmm. are anointed. You have been appointed. You have been ordained. There is a mandate on your life, and God brought you to this table. Mm-hmm. So as she's talking to me, tears begin to stream down my face like never before.
Really?
Tears is just streaming down my face, right? And I said, I know, because I've been praying, and God told me the same thing, that my time was up and my time is now, and it was time for a change. And she said, yes, honey, it is. You know, and then I was wondering, like, if she's telling me this, why is she in jail, right?
Right.
So she began to tell me, she said, I know you're thinking, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I am. She said, I'm here for the same reason you're here. I found the Lord in here too. Right?
Really?
Mm-hmm. She said, I accepted Christ. He met me here, same way he met you here. And he has preserved me for this moment for you. Right?
Wow.
And I said, oh, okay, but what did you do to get here? I wanted to know, what did she do to get there? All so right. She was telling me she was an accountant, and she worked for a guy that was embezzling money, and she didn't know she was putting it into these different accounts, and she didn't know he was stealing all of this money. So she was an accessory to a financial
crime. To it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how she ended up, and she was fighting the case. But she said, but from a spiritual standpoint, you know, I was called here too. God, I'm here because of the Lord. I found the Lord right here.
Mm.
And God found me, and I found him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't have to find me. He's been there the whole time, you know, but God brought you here for this reason. He allowed you, just like he allowed me, to go through what I've been through to get up mm-hmm. to this moment, and right. to change me, and to purge me, and to cleanse me, and wash me, and sanctify me. This is the same reason he brought you here, for that mm-hmm. same reason, because we are chosen by God. We have been particularly handpicked, and we're going to be used in this penal institution. So get ready. And I said, wow, wow. And then she had begun to prophesy to me. She had begun to tell me about, don't worry about the children or the boys. Mm-hmm. The boys are going to be fine. I never told her that I had boys. She said, don't worry about your house. Your house is covered. It's covered under the remnant of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have your house. Mm-hmm. Don't you worry about a thing, but God is going to do a work in you. And there's a breaking that is taking place. And she was exactly right. She said, what needs to happen now is we need to get the word of God down on the inside. It needs to attach to the marrow of your bone. It needs to be hung around your neck and attached to your forehead. You need that word of God, because that is your sword. Your armor. The word of God is going to teach you how to walk upright before God. It's going to teach you how to fight in the spirit realm. It's going to teach you how to be who God has called you to be. You have a prophetic anointing on your life, and God want to teach you and show you who you are. So from that moment on, we was in Bible study. It seemed like 24 hours. I mean, around the clock, getting that word.
Really?
It was nothing but the word of God. You know, so much of the Bible, we was just in this word, just all day, every time that we was able to be outside of our cell, outside of the jail, we were in the word of God. We was in the word. She was teaching me. She was referencing scripture. She was explaining and breaking things down to me. She wanted to know what I've learned. What did the scriptures mean to me? What is God saying to your heart, Nina? What is God saying to you? What is he showing you? So she was really teaching me to be who God has called me to be. Kind of like Moses and Joshua, you know? And that word, it was just, that sword, I took it everywhere that I went because that was my weapon. I went through warfare during the time I was locked up too. So just by reading the word and walking around with that Bible in my hand, demons literally trembled coming around me, you know, so, as I got that word, more and more of the word in me, and we was just in constant prayer. And I used to wonder why, Lord, we pray a lot. Wow. You know, from the time I get up and she's sitting there at the table, she's waiting on me, Bible in hand. And I'm like, I know it's time for Bible study. It was like I was in school.
Really?
God took me through this whole educational process of learning him, getting to know him,
right,
developing this relationship between the word and prayer. That's all I had. And the woman, St. Clair. And this woman I had, you know, that she was like my Moses type of woman, right?
Right.
So she was at me and on me all the time, reverting, reciting scripture. I should remember where the scripture is at. What is James? What is John 3:16? What is, you know, this was like I was in school.
Really?
She was a theologian when it came to the word of God. She knew the Bible. She taught me scripture. So I learned it more and more and more. And it was like I slept, ate, breathed, dreamed of the word of God. That's all I had to go by. It was like my global positioning. It's like a GPS system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up one day, Katina, and the woman was gone.
Really?
I woke up one day, I got my Bible, I'm coming out to have Bible study. The woman was gone. She was gone. And I'm panicking. I'm literally like freaking out that this woman is gone. So I go and talk to the CO and I asked the correctional officer, like, where's St. Clair? And he was like, oh, sweetheart, she's been transferred. And I'm like, I said, transferred where? Why? Why was she transferred? And they said, well, we do that. We rotate, you know, inmates all the time.
Oh, they
do. She was transferred to a different division. She's been transferred.
Okay.
You know, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm panicking. Like, Lord, what am I supposed to do without the woman?
Right.
What am I supposed to do without her? Right. And, he said, you already know what to do. It's in your hand. He said, everything you need is in your hand. Everything you need is in your heart and it's in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, that's how God works. He brings people in your life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He brings people in your life for a season.
Amen.
He brings people in your life for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he brought this woman in my life for all three because she was only there for that reason. And it was only for that season.
Yep.
But I will carry this woman in my heart for the rest of my life because God used her. He used her to teach me and to educate me of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes thinking we know who God is. But if we don't study who God is, we would never know. We say we have faith.
Right.
But faith without works is dead.
That's
faith
true.
Comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
You know, so he used this woman for me to have and obtain and to refine and to build this and cultivate this relationship with who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he said, everything you need is in your hand. Mm. So as I went back and forth to court, I had a smile on my face. I didn't care whether they had a bond for me or not. I didn't care if I had to stay longer because I was not even ready to go. I said, Lord, I want you to continue to make these deposits in me. I want you to continue to pour in into me. Mm-hmm. So as God began to continuously pour in into me the word of God, and everything that I needed to fight, and the weapons of my warfare was not carnal, but mighty through God.
Right.
And putting on the whole armor of God.
Right.
He taught me how to be a warrior. He taught me how to battle. He taught me how to come against spiritual attacks, spiritual warfare. He had me on the battlefield. I was among people that had demonic curses on their life, generational curses, people that carried lesions of demons and perversion and all kind that I was able to identify in the spirit realm that I was able to fight against and pray off people.
Right.
So after that, I still was in Bible study by myself and people was coming around wanting to engage into the Bible study. So God said, I'm calling you to be a minister to the people in here.
Okay.
To minister the word of God. I want you to have Bible classes, Bible studies. I want you to teach them the same way you were taught. I want you to teach them as well. Right. I want them to get that word because not only did I call you, but I called them all here. Right. Mm. So I had these Bible studies and they start growing and growing and growing and growing. So as we go out, you know, when we didn't have Bible study, like in the at our division in the day rooms, when we go to the gym room, I would pace around the whole entire perimeter of the gym and I would just walk and I would just pray. And I would pray out loud so that people can hear me, you know, and I would pray for everybody.
Right.
So people would follow me, deliberately follow me just to hear the prayers. And they would say, pray for me. Yes. And I would have a line of people just following me around in a circle. And we would be in prayer. We would sit down on the floor in circles and we would just pray. I would pray for everybody. I just poured out so much. We're empty out. I ain't had no more left.
Wow.
You know, so I had a large following of people in this place, teaching them the word of God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them who God was, why they are so special to God, why they were called to this place at such a time as this, why God is so strategic that he will call us together at the same time, in the same place, in the same season, you know, so people had got saved, delivered, set free. Demons got cast off of their lives. You know, they were so engaged. They would cry out and travail before the Lord. And they was in love with me. They was in love with the spirit of God that was in me. And they were so connected to me, you know. And then I discovered that I was leaving. Now, mind you, this was not just a boom, bam, boom. This was over time because I did almost a year in there.
Oh, really?
I was there for a long time. I was there for 7 months.
Wow.
So when they discovered that I was going to be leaving, there was a lot of crying about me leaving there.
Really?
A lot of crying. You know, they didn't know what to do without me, you know, but I had got moved around quite a bit too. But as I got moved around throughout the county, I was in Cook County Jail.
Right.
As I got moved around throughout this jail system, I was making connections. I was building relationships. I was bringing children back to their homes. I was, you know, I wasn't doing anything. It was a God that was working in me that was bringing families together, that was breaking addictions off of people's lives, that was binding the enemy, that was doing a lot of curses being broken, right? So I got moved as I went to court, and I'm going to end this because I know, you know, we've been going on for a while, but I'm just trying to come to a close.
Oh, no, I'm just...
As I went to court, Judge Higgins was the judge. She said, you know, you have been such a model inmate. You know, I don't want to see you go to prison. You know, the step from the county jail is prison. You're facing 3 to 5 years in the penitentiary.
Wow.
You know, you don't realize the seriousness of how much trouble you've gotten yourself into, but the amount of trouble you've gotten yourself into could send you away from your home, from your children for up to 5 years.
Wow.
You know, but she said, what I'm going to do for you, though, because I want to help you. You don't look like the type of woman that have a bad life, that has struggled a lot. You look like this woman that has been educated. You speak fluently. You speak with accuracy. You speak with great diction. I can tell you're a very wise, very intelligent woman. I don't know if you've been to school or went to college, but you know, just by the way you speak, I know that you just don't realize the trouble you've gotten yourself into, you know, but I want to offer you a program that I think that you can, you know, really engage in, mm-hmm. that you can benefit from the program. So she said, this will get you out of jail quicker. It's a program. It's a 120 day program.
Okay.
That if you engage with the program, you can go home, but you have to get totally involved in this program. It's an educational program. You need to learn about the side effects about drugs and alcohol. You need to know the effects that it takes on families. You need to know what you've gotten yourself. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get yourself educated, you're going to have a whole different perspective on this type, this, what you're doing. And you're going to be, I truly believe you're going to be able to help a lot of people. So I said, I'll take it.
Right.
So as I left that program, at that division, everybody was really sad that I was going to this treatment facility within the jail.
Right.
And I had to continue with ministry, though. At the same time, I still had to continue with ministry.
Right.
So as I went into the treatment facility, I grasped on quite, you know, like I wanted to be a part of it. I needed to know all about it. I needed to be engaged. I wanted to know.
Right.
So I jumped on board, you know, very quickly. I learned a lot. You know, I was in meetings. Really, you're in meetings most of the day.
Mm.
AA meetings, learning about drugs and alcohol, herbiturates, all kind of, you know, like cocaine. I've learned about all drugs.
Everything.
What it does to families, how it bring you down, how it's bad for the body, what it's doing in your internal system, what it does to the brain, you know, how it brings on a lot of medical problems, a lot of mental issues stem from alcohol use, long-term alcohol and drug use. So I had learned and I've grasped you know, quite fast with the program. Mm-hmm. So they would test us at the end of each class and I was flawless. I had gained a lot of certificates, a lot of awards. They called me to do meetings. They called mm-hmm. me to be in leadership. And I was just part like a counselor in this place, you know, and at the same time counseling other women about it, I was still ministering the gospel as well. I was still having Bible study. I was still praying for people. I was even praying for COs, correctional officers, because they always seen something different about me.
Hmm.
They used to tell me things like, there's something different about you. You have such a light about you. You know, you
glow.
There's a glowing. You have such a positive aura. I feel a positive energy when I'm around you. What is it? You know, and I said, you know, I love the Lord. You know, I love him. God has brought me out. He has delivered me out of the hands of the enemy. I thank God
Amen.
For who he is.
Man.
And this is the reason. This is who I am. And he said, I knew you was a godly woman. I just knew it. I can see it.
Wow.
So they said they would ask me to pray for them. I haven't seen my son in weeks or months. Could you pray that, you know, that nothing has happened to him and that he would come home? So I found myself praying for a lot of correctional officers. I kept a line of people in the jail system, in the treatment center, always in line for prayer, you know,
wow.
so And a lot of people got delivered. People will get in line for prayer if they have to go to court. Mm-hmm. You know, I just poured out so much. And I was so glad about it, though. I said, I used to ask God and joke with him a lot. I said, also, God, this is why you have me here. This is the reason you brought me. This is why you had me in a deep sleep in that car. I've never fallen asleep in a car before like that. Never. Mm-hmm. Wow. I said, this is why you put me into that deep sleep. Because you was calling that woman out. He said that woman had to die. Mm. Because I'm going to use you as a vessel to bring generational women that has been hurt, battered, broken, abused, addicted. I'm going to use you to do it. And he did just that. And I still do that. That's been so many years ago. I still do that to this day. You know, and God, I promise you, if you follow what the Lord is saying, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
If you just follow the plans and the purposes for your life and what God has in store for you, he said, I will open up the, he said, just prove me. If you just prove it and test God, he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing till you don't have room enough to receive it.
Amen.
You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you don't just try him and taste him, you will never know. So as I took that taste of Jesus, he has been so good to me. Since I've been out of jail, I have a corporate job working for a Fortune 500 company that we talked about in the beginning of our conversation at CDW.
Right.
Been here for almost 5 years. I have become a homeowner on my own, closed on a house by myself. I'm the only owner on the deed. God opened up a door for that.
Right.
For me to own my own property. Not only do I own my own property, I have 2 properties that I've closed on.
Wow.
You know, I brought my mama out. I helped her buy in a house. Mm-hmm. I was able not only to do that, but I'm able to care for my parents now in this great big house that God blessed us with. And I was able to put my property up as a rental property. So that's rent. That's extra income right there. And I got a great set of tenants that takes care of my property. So this is things that I've never been through before, never been blessed like this before. And I know it's the hands of God that has been on my life.
Amen.
Because of my obedience, because of the sacrifice that I've made, I gave it. It's like I gave it all to him. I went bankrupt. So, Lord, I'm ready. Any way you want to work in me, you have total access to my life. Mm-hmm. So after doing that, God has just still have been, you know, it seemed like everything I touch is blessed. Even this relationship with you has been nothing but a tremendous blessing. Oh, nothing but a tremendous. You are, Katina, just meeting you and knowing you as the woman that you are. I know God brought you into my life. I know that it was the hands of God that tied us together. You are the most influential woman. You are a woman of resilience, a woman of wisdom, a woman of integrity, a woman of skill and knowledge. I mean, so much I've learned from you in this little amount of time. I've been knowing you all of like, what, 8 months?
Right. Yeah, about 8 months.
Something like that.
Yes.
And you are a remarkable, brilliant, talented, creative, very smart. You are a force to be reckoned with. I love you so much.
And I love you, girl. You know, it's nobody but the Lord, you know?
No, I'm telling you, when God get into it, it ain't nothing but good. When God put his hands in it, can't nothing but good come out of it, because God, he's a perfect God.
Amen.
God is a God of perfection. He don't make mistakes.
Amen.
God sits high and he looks low down on his people and his eyes is in the earth. He is our Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he has made provisions for us all. Even in our brokenness, Lord, we've been talking about all this time, God is Jehovah Rapha, the healer.
Yes, he is.
Of
Amen.
Our broken hearts, of our brokenness from within. You know, so he has been absolute in my life. He has been my everything. He is my all in all. He is my rock. He is my wind. He is my air that I breathe. You know, and I give all the glory to this great God that I've been serving. He's my shepherd. He's my father. And I talk to him just like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he is... this great, magnificent, majestic, holy, divine God that is everywhere that I'm not. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is just like, he's my savior. He is my rock, my shield, my protector. You know, girl, I can go on and on about what God is to me.
Girl, tell me about it.
He's just this great big God that he is just doing wonderful things in the earth. Wonderful, marvelous things.
But
we don't know what to do. When we don't know how to do it. And as we go to God in prayer and we lay before the Lord, God always gives you something to work with.
Amen.
He always make a way out of no way.
Amen.
He has been bread when we have been hungry.
Mm-hmm.
He has provided the roof over our head.
Yes.
God has parted the Red Sea for us to just walk through.
Just walk on through.
Every trial, every tribulation, every obstacle, every circumstance. While we're sitting here trying to figure this thing out, he has already worked it out, already made a way, already provided a door. He is our door opener and our way maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust him. He has been loyal. He has been consistent. You know, he has been, just an on-time God.
Yes.
He is just so on time, and I just give it to him. I give it.
Amen.
I don't know what I'd do without him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. Tell me about it.
That is definitely my testimony.
I'm telling you, that is quite a testimony. So what would be, as we're coming to a close, what would be your advice you think that you would give someone that's dealing with the areas of brokenness that you struggle with?
Oh, my God. Pray. Prayer, I believe, is essential for the human body, the human mind, and the human heart.
Mm.
And the internal, our spirit man on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Amen.
There's much that comes out of depending on someone you can't see and giving it all to him, trusting this God. Mm-hmm. You know, my advice would be to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know him for who he is.
Mm.
This creator of the world, this creator of the universe that called you into the earth.
Yes.
That breathed the breath of life into your nostrils and made you who you are.
Mm.
In God, we live, we breathe, and we have our total being. We're nothing. We don't even exist without God.
Amen.
So my advice would be to get to know somebody that will stick closer to you, closer than a brother, somebody that loves you more than life itself, that has the giver of life, mm-hmm. that is concerned about your heart.
Amen.
God is a heart person. He's concerned about the things that you go through. God is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So therefore, if he's touched by that, he knows. He connects with what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
He connects with that. But if you trust him, he can bring you out of it. And he's going to use what you are going through and what has happened in your life for you to help somebody else to bring them out.
Isn't that the truth? Amen.
And that's how he works. God uses us.
That's how he works.
And that's how he uses us to help other people. And it goes on. It's like a domino effect.
There you go.
He builds us and he gets us ready. He prepares us. He refines us. He sends us through this refinery fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, Lord, make me over, Jesus. Make me over, God. And
yes.
He makes us over.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sends you through that refinery fire, he builds you up. He gives you what you need. He gives you everything to fight with and what you need. He gives it to you.
Yes.
He strengthens you. He strengthens your mind. He strengthens everything about you. And he uses that for you to strengthen somebody else.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all. Get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
He is such a loving God. He is just so loving. I am in love with him. He is so, because he loved me.
Right.
You know, I was his first love.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our first love.
Mm.
You know, God gave up his very son just so we can be here. For God so loved the world that he gave.
Amen.
God has been a giving God since the foundation of the earth.
Amen.
You know, he gave us his son.
Mm.
And all we have to do is believe in him, trust him, try him. You know, just try him. Give him a chance. Open up the door of opportunity for him. Give him access. He will never do you wrong. Amen. God say, I come so that you may have life, right? Amen. And not that I only want to give you life, though. I want to give you abundant life.
Amen.
I want to give you, I'm the type of God, I'm the kind of God that give you more than enough. I thank God for being the kind of God that meets me wherever I'm at, that meets me in whatever condition I'm in. I thank God for being the kind of God that wipes the tears from my eyes and let me know that everything is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I thank God for being the kind of God that walks with me, that talks with me, that guides me, that steers me in the right direction, because I've decided to take my hands off the wheel. He guides me.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I no longer am in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, if you lead me, God, I will follow, because my ways have been all wrong. Every time I got behind the wheel, I crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I crashed every time.
Yes.
So as I release my hands off of that steering wheel and say, Lord, I give you access.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Yes.
And that is the most joyful ride. And I'm still on this ride with Jesus.
Amen.
This has been the most joyful, prosperous, heartfelt ride that I have ever experienced, to have this encounter and this exchange with God every day.
Oh,
and to help somebody else and to draw them closer to the Lord.
Mm.
And to bring them and be a part of history, to be a part of somebody being delivered, to be a part of that.
Right.
Is what really makes the difference.
Oh, my
to
word.
To be a part of this transformational deliverance that is mm-hmm. happening in somebody else's life that didn't even know Christ.
Amen. For God to allow you to be a part of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. To use you as a vessel, you know, to have his will accomplished. I'm telling you, that is really something. You know, it made me think about as you were giving all those wonderful words of encouragement. And I was thinking of a song I heard the other day. I was listening to it as I had my playlist going. It's a song by the Sidewalk Prophets, is the name of the group.
Oh, okay.
Make me broken so I can be healed.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
The song, I'm just the words of it. Yeah, make me broken so I can be healed. You know, and that he talked about being tired of holding on to his will, you know, but I said, ooh, it's deep. You know, when you sing those words, you say those words. Yeah. And it definitely takes brokenness to get us to that place of being healed.
You know what? And let me just also add that, you know, even in my past experiences, even experiences now, and everything, you know, that we go through, mm-hmm. and everything that we face, God would allow you to go through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there is a blessing at the end of it. There's something that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is a plan and there's a purpose for him having you. And it can be the most painful experience that you can ever face. Jail, being mm-hmm. just locked up, was the most painful experience that I ever faced in my life, but the most gracious, I would say, the most, I wouldn't take it back for the world, I would say. I wouldn't change a thing. That is the most profound time and the most touching, memorable, I will never forget time in my life. I wouldn't take it back, and I wear it like a grace of glory. On my head. I wear it as a grace of glory because God allowed me to go through the most painful times. Just imagine being disconnected and taken away from your children, that you feel that you've left alone, that you have abandoned, that you don't know how they're going to make it. You don't know if your son is having an asthma attack, because you know he has asthma, and you always the one that's there to administer and make sure, you know, he gets better. Now you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in the winter seasons and when weather changes, he has his asthma attack, but don't nobody know how to treat it but you. So now you're locked up.
Right.
So you're freaking out. All this anxiety is happening. But God says, you know what? I will keep you in perfect peace, though.
Whose
mind is stayed. He said, not only am I going to keep you in perfect peace, but everything that is attached to you will be at peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes, God. Everything that has anything to do with you would be at peace, like still waters.
Oh, my word. So he helped you to just take them knuckles off the wheel. You know how we wipe knuckle it? He had you to just totally release it.
That's right. And he told me, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And I kept my mind on Christ. I kept my mind on the things that was above and not beneath. I didn't think about the children. I didn't think about the house. I didn't think about if they was doing, making it. Only thing that I really was thinking about is, Lord, use me. Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, set me free. Lord, break these addictions off my life. He said those enemies that you've seen before, you would never see again. And here it is almost 8 years, 9 years later.
Right.
The enemy that you've seen before, when I get done with you, you would never see again. You would never. Now you are ready to go out into the outside world. So God, take move me out of the cocoon. Now it's time for me to fly. Now it's time. I go to court because, you know, when you finish the program, you go to court because people are writing letters. They have to report to the judge that has the that's in charge of the program about your progress. Right.
Right.
So when I went to court, I got a standing ovation in the courtroom with all of these people because all of the letters was going to the judge about my progress, how I was so effective, how I was so inspiring, how, you know, and I told the judge, I said, Judge Higgins, and when everybody stood up, you know, I said, I'm not the one that should be applauded though. I appreciate the, you know, the applause and, you know, and the accolades and all of that. I appreciate, but it had absolutely nothing at all to do with me. Nothing at all to do with me. I surrendered my life to the creator that created me. I gave it all to God. God delivered me. So if you want to applaud for anybody, applaud to him. Because this is who you see today. You don't see the woman that came in here for bond court in October of 2011. You don't see that woman. What you see now is a woman that has been purged, that has been purified, that's been sanctified, that has been washed, blood washed by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus. And this is the woman that stands here today. God sent me here on a mission, and the mission has been accomplished only by the grace of God, only because of him. You know, so I was crying and tears was falling down my eyes. As the dripping in a courtroom like that before. And all of the stacks of letters that had came in. So they were gracious. They said, well, we would love to see you again. We want to know what you're doing, you know, outside of here. And I said, I've decided, I've already wrote a letter and everything. I said, I'm going to register myself for school, and I'm going to go to school to be a social worker to help people that's struggling in these areas, particularly the youth community, younger people, before they have reached that adult stage.
Right.
Because I sat back with a lot of women that hurt so bad for what they've done to their children, and it caused their children to use drugs, to drink, and to do all of these things because of their lifestyle. They, you know, when you do it around the two, they figure, you know, well, mama doing it, so, you know, I might as well do it too, and it's okay. So I said, I'm going to be in that area of educating children about the use of alcohol and drugs, the effects that it takes on you, how it, you know, and I do that now to this day. I have a youth program, a lot of young people that I mentor right now to this day. So, you know, I'm still active. I'm still active. I'm still on that assignment that God has given me years ago. Still doing that assignment. And to God be the glory for what he's done. To God be the glory.
Amen. To God be the glory. But Nina, I've got one last question to ask you, and I always ask everyone that comes on here, along with the brokenness question. This last question is, what does the word home mean to you?
H-O-M-E?
Yes.
Are you saying H-O-M-E?
Yes.
Home?
Yes. What does that mean?
Home is security. Home is security. You know, that's your sacred place. Home is your secret closet. It's where you can kick your shoes off. It's where you can take your coat off and throw it across the couch. You know, home is that place of peace and serenity. Home is that place of I've arrived. It's that arrival, like that final destination to where you can just bounce on the couch instead of just planning and sitting. Mm-hmm. You can just bounce back on the couch and kick your feet up and just lay back, put your hands behind your head and just lay back and just rest in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's what home is. So that's our physical home, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's our physical
home. Our physical home, yes.
Amen. Our physical home is a place of rest. It's a place of relaxation. It's a place of peace. It's a place of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. It's a place of family. It's a place of love, togetherness. It's a place of laughter. It's a place, you know, to where that's your final destination and you enjoying, you're just taking in every moment of that. Mm-hmm. So our spiritual home, right? Because I always have to tie in because God goes with just about everything, right?
Amen.
There's a physical and there's a physical, natural, and then there's a spiritual. Mm-hmm. So that spiritual home is to the 10th power of that. To that physical. It's to the 10th power of that. Mm-hmm. So that's our final destination, right? Yes. To where you're going through that well done door, right?
Yes.
So you're going to meet your father.
Amen.
You're going to stand before daddy. Mm. And you're going to look him eye to eye. And you're going to have that big smile on your face.
Yes.
You're going to have that smile with them beautiful teeth.
Mm.
And he's going to tell you to head right over there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I go and I prepare a place for you. Because in my father's house, there's many mansions. Mm. And if it was not so, I wouldn't have told you that.
There you go.
So he's going to give you the keys. He's going to have them keys in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's going to go and tell you, give you the keys. He said, there go to the door for well done, right?
Mm-hmm.
There to the right. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's that home to where you're going through all of the beauty, all of the love, all of the excitement, all of the everything that is going on is so miraculously different from what you had in mind. Mm-hmm. But it's to the 10th power. I can remember my son telling me the dream that he had about heaven. Mm-hmm. He said, Mama, the colors that you see right now here on earth has absolutely no comparison to the colors that's in heaven. Mm-hmm. He said, like the color red of an apple, the actual color of red will make the red of an apple look like the apple is spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the most beautiful apple you've seen in a fruit market.
Mm.
But he said, Mama, the colors that you see in heaven is magnified. God is a magnified God. He is exalted. So if we serve a God that's high up in everything.
Amen.
Right? God sits high, so everything else is high, it's magnificent, it's broadened. God is big, he's vast. Everything is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is like brighter, bigger, bolder. We serve a bold, bright God.
Mm-hmm.
And a vocal God.
Yeah.
Everything has sound to it. You know, you just can't hear it. Even things on earth have sound to it. Flowers even have sound, but you'll never hear it.
Right.
Flowers, plants have sound. They respond to sound from God.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, he said, Mom, the colors are bolder. They're brighter. The reds are not really the reds that we see. God only gave us this for us to just live life and enjoy. And, you know, this is our earthly home. So he made sure that we had everything we need to live, grow, and to thrive. Right. So, but what I've seen in heaven, he said, Mom, there is gold in heaven, because I was in a place where there was nothing but pure gold. And it wasn't the type of gold that's going to blind your eyes. This was gold of beauty. This was gold of absolute beauty, right? And he said, I've seen colors that you've never seen. Everything is magnified to the 10th power, you know? So that's the type of God that we serve. That's home. That's comfort. That's love. That's God is a happy God. He's a joyful God. He loves to have fun. He loves to smile. You know, God loves to have fun. That's why, you know, sometimes we can be just as silly as we want to be.
I know we can.
God is a humorous God. He's humorous.
I believe that.
Yeah, so that's home for me. Home is comfort and home is security. Home is the final destination. To where you can lay back and just rest into the moment.
Yeah.
Okay? And take that, and you can exhale from a long day. And we'll be able to exhale once we make that final destination to heaven from our long journey up until our long journey on earth, from the time we're born up in time until the time we face God. That journey to where we can finally sit back and say, I've arrived.
Amen.
I have arrived and I did good. Lord, thank you, because man, it was times I thought I was going to break, man.
Okay. Amen.
Thank God he didn't come through during this time in my life, because sometimes we go through times in our life, we give up hope, we have despair, we do, you know, we go through things.
No, we do.
You know, but thank God he didn't come back during that time.
I know, right? Because that physical, emotional, mental side is real. You know, we got the spiritual side, but he also, you know, made all those other things. We're emotional beings. So, you know.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
There we have it. Thank you so much, Nina, for your testimony.
Oh, my God. I know I took up a lot of your time.
It's okay.
I apologize. Yes. But I had to tell the story for how it played out.
I know what
and, you know, the book is in the making now, you know.
Amen.
The book is definitely in the making. It's in the, I'm not going to give you the title. I don't want to expose it, but God dropped it in my spirit of what to entitle.
What's the title?
The book. He said, write it, make it plain, and make it plain. You know, write the book.
Yes.
And it's been prophesied to me over time, over years, that you need to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we still are becoming, because we have not arrived yet, every day we're becoming who God has called us to be. We are becoming more and more like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we haven't arrived, but we are becoming. But now I'm at that point where it's time to start writing.
Yeah.
It's time to start writing.
And I'm looking forward to reading it. Yes. Thank you so much, Nina.
You're welcome so much. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored for the opportunity. You are an awesome, very influential person in my life. You're a mighty woman of God. You have wisdom as an old person. I've learned so much from you, Katina.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you so much for making me a part of your podcast. I appreciate it.
Okay. And you have a blessed evening.
Yes, God bless you as well, and I'll talk to you soon.
We sure will. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for listening to the Healing Our Brokenness podcast, episode 76, an interview with Evangelist Bernina Marbury. I don't even need to add anything else to that. She left me on a high, and where I wanted to literally start screaming and shouting and praising the Lord as she ran off all the different names of God, being our protector, Jehovah Rapha, and our provider, and oh, just on and on and on, the Alpha and Omega. So like I said, there was nothing else to add to that. I want to give a shout out to Timothy Horton for bringing our intro and outro music every week. The name of the song is Valley of Grace, and it's out there on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube. Until next time. So